We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the fifth chapter, the end of the fourth Mishnah. And the Mishnah now lists, Asara Nisyonot Nitnasa Avram Avinu. I'm going to translate this in a way that we're used to translating it, even though I'm not sure it's correct. I'm going to translate it as, there were 10 tests that Avram Avinu was tested. We have to know whether the word Nisayon really means test. Ve'amad bechulam, and Avram stood up to all of them, Lodia kamachibato shel Avram Avinu, to make it be known how much is Avram Avinu's love. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. Harishon, the first test was Ur Kasdim, she'pilo nimrod lekivshan ha'esh v'nitzal. Nimrod threw him, knocked him into a burning furnace, and he came out alive. V'zeinom forash b'Torah, doesn't say this in the Torah. Remember when I was a kid, at one point I wanted to look for the story of Avram and the burning fire. And I kept leafing through the Torah looking for it, and I couldn't find it. Because I had learned Bereishis, I had learned Noah, I had learned Lecha, I had learned Vayera, and I couldn't find the story, because it's not there. It's a tradition we have. V'yesh lanu remez ladavar ze min haTorah, we only have an allusion in the Torah, shekodem pashat lech lecha me'artzecha me'imlatecha, that before Hashem tells Avram, go from your land where you were born, nizkar lemala shnei parim mi'imur kasdim. Earlier the Torah calls Avram's birthplace twice, Ur Kasdim, the fire of Kasdim. Why is that the name of the place? We know there's Kasdim, we know there's Aram, we know there's Aram Naharaim. Why is it called the fire of Kasdim? To let us know that because Avram stood up to that test, that's why Hashem promised him to bring him to the land. We also find by Noach, Shemitchila Katuv, initially it says, Noach Matzachin B'nei Hashem, Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. And that segues into the parasha, the story of the flood, and Hashem tells Noach, I'm going to save you from the flood. The Torah is telling you, because he found favor, that's why when the flood came, he was saved. So that same idea by Avram. You're about to learn about Avram. Lech Lecha. Hashem tells Avram, you will go to the land of Israel. Right before that, the Torah tells us about Avraham. Ur Kasdim, he came from Ur Kasdim. The Torah is telling you this is why he was chosen to be led into the land of Israel. So that needs a little bit of work. Because we have a Medrash, which the Maharal develops, the idea that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the concept of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov predated creation. The Midrash says that before Hashem created the world, there were certain concepts that Hashem said have to be in this world. A concept of Gan Eden, Gehinom, a concept of Tshuva, a concept of Mashiach, a concept of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The patriarchs and the Jewish people. So there are concepts that the Midrash says had to be in the world. So you might say, yeah, if it wouldn't have been this Avraham, it would have been someone else who would have been Avraham. The Maharal doesn't go that way. The Maharal develops the idea that Avraham was unique irrespective of the actions. The actions were a reflection of that uniqueness which was within him. You want to see where Avraham is unique? Here are examples. But his uniqueness was he was a unique soul. So the Ran over here is saying, because he stood up to that test, Hashem promised him to bring him into the land of Israel. That needs a lot of work. What we're going to ask is a basic question here. Avraham became the great Avraham because he stood up to the test, right? Is something lovable because it's loved, or is it loved because it's lovable? It's sometimes an important question. Do we have cause and effect? Is Avraham unique because it's Avraham? Or no? Like the Pasuk says, Ki yedativ, I love him. How do you understand the next word? Leman. Leman asher yitzaveh et banav ve'et beito acharai. Because he teaches his children and his house to follow me? I love him as a result of that, or I love him so that? Leman yirbu yimechem v'imei v'nechem, we say in Kriyat Shema. It's because we have longevity? No. We have these mitzvos, so that we will have longevity. So leman sounds to be so that, not because of. Hashem says, I love him, so that he will teach his children in the future. Right? It sounds like it's not because Avraham is such a good educator that Hashem loves him. Hashem loves him, and as a result of that, he will be able to teach the future generations. The teaching is not the cause, it seems to be the result. Over here, the Ran sounds like Avraham's receipt of the land of Israel was a result of Avraham standing up to the test of Ur Kasdim. I'm just saying we should notice that the Rabbeinu Yonah over here said a big concept. Yes?
It's much more easy to relate than to look up to because of it. Because
no problem.
The person passed the test and did something, the idea means it's almost like, you know, I'm not going to let you fail if it's so. It seems. I find it much, you know, the way it seems, Rabban points it as a. Much more admirable. Israel was willing. Abraham was willing to go into the furnace for what he believed to be Hashem, the truth. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to stand up to, you know, the taskmaster being the Egyptian and fled in Midian, and he worked on himself 80 years, and he did so on. And because of that, he was chosen. If it's like you were going to be chosen anyway. And I gave you that's much more difficult to deal with, you know? So that, I find, that, you know, I'm not getting so that right. Maybe I'm not.
So let me, I want to explain what I'm, I'm going to start in a different example and then come back to Avraham Avinu, okay? Shaul is king. Shaul is the first king of Israel. The Jewish people have never succeeded in the last half a century in winning a war against the Philistines. Meaning it's been a half a century that the Philistine army is more powerful than Israel. Shaul is outnumbered. They have a horseman. They have like 10 horsemen for every soldier he has. He is outnumbered ridiculously. And they have more weapons. He has 2 swords. They have a whole army. They have chariots. They have horsemen. And Shaul is the new king. And Shmuel tells him, when you go to war, just wait for me to bring the sacrifice. Now he has a tiny army of very pious people who see that they're outnumbered and they're still willing to go with him. And then the Philistines start maneuvering their army and positioning themselves for an attack, and Shmuel isn't there. Shmuel told him, wait for me, we'll bring the sacrifice and then you'll go to war. He keeps waiting, no Shmuel in sight. The Philistine army is moving and they're advancing towards him. And his soldiers say, what are we doing? And Shaul says, we're waiting for Shmuel. And some soldiers start deserting. Not one or two. He loses over 10% of his army. So if he had a fledgling army until then, now it's even worse. And he sees what's happening to his right, to his left. He sees his men leaving. And he sees the Philistines moving and maneuvering for war. He says, bring me the animal, we're bringing the sacrifice. He finishes the sacrifice. Shmuel walks in and says, what's going on? Shaul says, I was losing people. I was scared what would happen. I had to bring the sacrifice. Shmuel says, you messed up. You lost it. That's it. You're not going to be king anymore. You lost it. What do you want from him? He's outnumbered 10 to 1. He's such a tzaddik. I don't begin to understand how a sane person went to war. I mean, it's no different to me than the Avraham going into the furnace. There's no logical way he could win here. 2 swords against the whole army. I'm saying, what's going on? So what did he do wrong? So, and he was under pressure. It's not that he had time to think. They're maneuvering. War is starting. So it seemed to me, and I found more supports to this concept, it seemed to me that the claim against Shaul was not specifically at that moment. The claim was, who are you, Shaul? The moment was a moment of truth. It was a moment where his inner being came to play. We build ourselves our whole life. And then we have moments where we're tested. And if we've built ourselves correctly, then on autopilot we're going to do what's right. Are we really punished for that moment? Or are we really held accountable for what did I build until that moment? What came out of me at that moment? What came out of me was what I built until that moment. So the moment is a revelation. The moment is an opportunity. Sometimes we can surprise ourselves and garner strength and do what's right. But most often what's happening is everything about who I am came out of that moment. When we say Avraham Avinu was great and it's not the product of the test, my point is it Kol HaKavod, Avraham, you stood up to the test? And that's why you're getting the land of Israel? Or is it, no, there had to be a tremendous soul called Avraham Avinu. Whether we saw it through the test, whether we didn't see it through the test, that's less important. The test is a revelation, but it's a revelation of who he is. It's not that the test is what gives him that reward. The Rabbeinu Yonah makes it as, you stood up to the test, good for you, now you get the land of Israel. I would think, more along the lines of the Maharal, What's easier to understand, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is the ordering of the test, where we find other commentaries say that Avraham was built through the tests also. Because as much as you prepare yourself, standing up to the test at that moment builds you. Now you're ready for the next test. You've grown. And the tests, and then we see an ordering. We know on the last test, there was the idea, according to one Medrash, show the world how great you are. I know how great you are, but you have to show it to the world. So one concept is I'm giving an opportunity to bring my greatness to fruition. The other concept is, no, you're great without it. The world has to see it. I don't need to test you in order to know that you can do it. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be giving us a little different than what we're used to. More the idea, you stood up to it, you're getting land of Israel. You built yourself to that point, you're getting the land of Israel.
Appreciate that. It doesn't seem to be like so much either or. You're great, now you're greater. It's not like did Aaron was, was he blow it because he allowed rather than get killed by the mob by then he sort of bought time and allowed the gap. I mean, you know, it's very hard questions, right?
That's what I want to tell you about Avraham Avinu. I don't know if your son was Avraham Avinu if you would have told him to go into the furnace. My son too.
Yeah, I mean, he's still different, only but all that time, maybe not. And by the time he came to Yekada, he already had a relation with God. The right thing, we heard a voice say,
I didn't say Yekada, I said the furnace.
Right, I don't know either, right? That's, I have no answer to that.
That's,
I would say no.
Right. No, I'm not. It means we have what to work on, though.
For sure. And those tests, when we fail them sometimes, you get back up and you try again.
Yeah, no, but there's a key element here.
He made a mistake, but he was, like you say, he was great.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't pass.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we would have been a soldier in his army. I don't think we would have even come there. Okay? We look at Shaul. Who would have even joined them? I mean, which of us would have such emunah that we would have gone? Think about it.
You know, it's like if you're here in 67. You're
going to
get it even if you don't go. I mean, the Philistines.
No. Yeah, a lot of Jews lived under them. The Pasuk says.
Right.
Yeah.
The